C2A. Number 18B.
Chapter of principle. See, now we have love as principle, and therefore those two tones, principle and prince, must have a little bit a different meaning or accentuation. So we have here two kinds of principle being brought out. The one is the proof of truth, life, and love, which Jesus gave. That's now the little tone of principle. Huh? By casting out and healing the sick, completed his earthly mission. Can you hear again the tone of love? Completing the earthly mission, where you really get to the point of Shekinah, of the rest and peace. You get there, she says, through proving really truth, life, and love. And you have again here truth, life, and love, and not life, truth, and love, because truth, life, and love is the Christ in absolute Christian Science, and this is what is being proved here, that the Christ comes to us and demonstrates itself as casting out error and healing the sick. And this completed his earthly mission. But in the Christian church, this demonstration of healing was early lost. That's the proof was no more given. It was early lost. Again, the demonstration, the point of principle, was early lost about 3 centuries after the crucifixion. And now comes the great bigger principle, love as principle, which says no ancient school of philosophy, that's a counterfeit of a principle, Materia Medica, a counterfeit of principle, or scholastic theology, counterfeit of principle, ever taught or demonstrated the divine healing of absolute science. So can you see that love says, I'm that love that reforms the sinner and brings him back to heaven. So I bring, I am that for that, what can you say, that intention that wants to complete everybody's earthly mission that we had as love. How can I do that? I can do that by showing that love is a principle and not a philosophy or materia medica or scholastic theology. And that principle, which is not the theory, that has a touch of principle, that has to be proved and demonstrated. Can you hear that? So you really have two kinds of principle, naturally, that repeats itself every time. But we must see what is the main subtone and what is the subtone of principle. So that I see there is a plan of love at work that really wants us to complete our earthly mission, that we come to the point of peace and rest, to the Shekinah. How can I do that? Love says you have to build on a principle and not on theories. But that's not enough. You also have as principle to demonstrate that and prove that. Can you see the hierarchy in it? Those three layers, so to say, that one can touch vertically and not in a linear way, in one tone. So you hear, so to say, spiritually, that whole paragraph of about 2, 4, 6, 8 lines, you hear it just as one tone. Just as if we put down on the piano three notes, in one go. That's one triad that you hear, not 1, 2, 3, but bang, all three. Well, is that bad? Is that terrific? Doesn't this give a fuller tone than just 1, 2, 3, you get the fuller tone, and that's what we all will get all will get if we are just culturing ourselves in this hierarchical text interpretation. That you hear really the tone, love wants to save you on the basis of principle that we demonstrate. You have the whole thing. Yeah. And so every one of these we can hear when we come tomorrow to love as truth. Then tomorrow we'll have to hear at once four tones, not only three tones. So in a way, the chapter of the Atonement and Eucharist just builds up and builds up and builds up, so that our spiritual ear will be trained into listening to the symphony of being. We come to life, just a little touch of life in it, where she says, Jesus foresaw the reception Christian Science would have before it was understood. Again at the tone of life. Again she comes with that sense of being misunderstood, of being persecuted and so on. But always in a different way here. But this foreknowledge hindered him not. Can you see? Life goes on. There is nothing that can hinder the highway of life. The highway of life is so powerful that it just rolls over every hindrance and every obstacle and just goes on. It says, I go on and on. So when we are touched by that love that is a principle, it says to us, that goes on and on and on, and that cannot be stopped. So he fulfilled his God mission. Can you see, before it was completed, his earthly mission, by proving, now he fulfilled his God mission, love, and then sat down. Can you hear again? The rest and peace of love, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Persecuted, can you see the touch of life? From city to city, his apostles still went about, still went. Can you hear the tone of life again? Still went about. You couldn't hinder them. You couldn't stop them. They went on and on, no matter what happened. Think of Paul. He was a wonderful representative of this tone. Huh? Nothing really could hinder that giant. Huh? Nothing. He tells us what he has been going through. He was stoned. When they thought he was dead, he would rise again and go on to the next city. He was imprisoned in chains. He got out of the prison and went on. He was beaten up with 40 minus one stroke. He got up on his legs and went on. Three times he was shipwrecked. He swam and afterwards went on. He was bitten by a viper, and he went on. And one after the other, just always being beaten up, standing on the legs, said, okay, goodbye, there is another way, I go forward, and on, and ever on we go. That was his mentality. That was life. Huh? Do we get slowly the feeling in this chapter that really Christian Science has to do not with thinking out the system, but by living a whole system. But a system, not just isolated ideas. So if we don't accept the system, if we don't accept the system in these three categories, we can never really live science. We live then a religious sense of it, we then live some kind of a Christian sense of it, which all the others can do also. All other people who are not Christian can live a wonderful, good life, an exemplary good life. The agnostics live usually a better life than Christian. So there is nothing very important in living a nice life. It's better than living a bad life. But that is not science. Science is something very different. Living a science is something very different. That may set household at variance. That brings the sword of truth. See? So we must be very clear that we try to live the structure of the Christian Science textbook and not just our human sense of a Christian life. That's not good enough. That's the able state of thought and will be knocked over. It has no impact on the world. So let's have an impact on the world and first get into the rhythm of what that demands. That second chapter is all what the Christ demands of us. So persecuted from city to city, the apostle still went about doing good deeds, for which they were maligned and stoned. Like I have said, like Stephen also, that was stoned to death, and so many others of the disciples. So still they went on. So we prove that love is principle by going on loving our mission and not to be hindered by anything. We come to truth, the truth taught by Jesus. The moment you have truth, the truth taught by Jesus, the elders scoffed at. Why? Because it demanded more than they were willing to practice. That's the point. Truth demands too much from the human mind. The human mind, let me go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will come back. But that naturally is that of a coward. Because it demanded more than they were willing to practice, it was enough for them to believe in a national deity. Can you see the counterfeit of principle? Say, that's enough if I believe. The church does not ask me more than that I believe in the doctrine of the church, that I go to church, that I fulfill the rituals of the church, then I'm a good church member in every religion. But that belief from their time to ours has never made a disciple who could cast out evil and heal the sick. Can you hear truth here? Huh? Never gave to man that inner power of truth that is the healing power. It never made a disciple. If it can't make disciples, then something is wrong. And something is wrong. That's always the most difficult part of one's life. Mrs. Eddy had a hell of a time to make good disciples. And she usually would say, well, if only a few percent in a class really understood somehow what I was teaching, that's good enough. That's big enough. More I cannot expect. And we are even in a more delicate situation because we have no organization, we have no church, we are everyone is a free agent. Question, can we teach that science so that we can make disciples? If we can't make disciples, then the idea goes down. The idea cannot live. And to make a disciple, more is necessary than good deeds. You have to teach and understand the science of it. Only when the disciple has a presentation of the inner structure of the science, he can learn it. Else he has no chance to learn it. That's why then if we would only teach out of a mystical sense, out of an emotional sense, out of a religious sense of things, that can never make a disciple. A disciple can only be made through science. Only through science we can make a disciple of science. Only science, only like can understand like. Well, this is a great, great question for also for us. And then the last little tone of love comes in, which says, Jesus' life proved divinely and scientifically, you have love as principle, what that God is love. You have the great tone of love. Whereas priests and rabbi, the counterfeit really of scientific understanding of priests and rabbi persons, affirm God to be a mighty potentate, again the very counterfeit of principle, who does what? Now comes the little touch in it of love, who loves and hates. Therefore, the very opposite is the truth. The Jewish theology gave no hint of what? Of the unchanging love of God. Love is a small L. So that is the little touch of the sub-subtones of love. Yes. What is the story? So we sit back again and say, now, let me see what it means, atonement and Eucharist. What have we seen here in the tone of love as principle? Love that says there is a day of rest. You come to the point where you can sit down at the right hand of the Father. How do you get there? Love says, I enforce that way to come to the point of rest through demonstrating principle. That's the way. Not through theology, not through believing in a God as a mighty potentate, not to believe in personal priestcraft, etc., but through demonstrating principle. How do you do that? How can you see that? Where do you start? And it says, well, principle is naturally the operation of principle. So at the point of mind, you have to do daily deeds. You have to act. You can't sit back and say, let God do it. You have to do something. That's divine service. And at the point of spirit, it says, that doing must be directed away from matter into the Shekinah, into the spiritual sense of things. Again, can you see always the line of spirit? And then, in doing that, you are empowered to walk calmly on. No matter through what wilderness you go, you still are calm within yourself. Because the balance of soul says, nothing can happen to you. Nothing can touch you. You are absolutely safe, no matter if there is hell or high water. Just walk calmly on, and that's the tone of soul. But in walking calmly on comes in the little touch of principle. There you have to demonstrate through giving proofs that you have understood that principle. So prove it. Prove it at the tone of life now. Prove it by continuing doing good, by continuing that divine service, and without letting yourself be hindered by anything that can happen on your way. Just do like Paul, go on and ever go on and go on. That makes you a real good disciple. Then you have taken on your shoulder the government of principle, and you exemplify yourself as a disciple, as a Christian scientist. And if you are that, then you can be quite sure that you are led by the plan of love through its unchanging love of God. Love, small l. And that gives us the assurance, that gives us the certainty, the comfort to go that way and not falter. Yeah? Good. And so we start with the next subject. And that next subject actually brings in another subject, namely love as life, and so shows the plan of love and the design of love from the point of view of life. A very powerful subject. The main tone is here, because of man's unity with love, our demonstration of deathless life cannot be hindered by anything. She takes up now as a main tone of life, or as a first main subtone of life, that what she has just presented in the subtone of life, namely that nothing could hinder us and should hinder us, that we go on in spite of all what happens on the right and on the left, go the way of life, the highway of life, and that now is the great, great subtone, which will show that it is love's purpose, really, that life is seen as that which can never be killed, that can never be defeated, that life cannot be swept away, that it will always be at the point of business, and that love works that way, that with life we overcome all obstacles and all hindrances. So that love makes life very apparent, because it demonstrates that every obstacle can be overcome, and so we give proof of the indestructibility of life. That's the general tone in it. And we'll see it's a very mighty strong tone. What is love here in the text? And interestingly enough, you see that now she speaks about love from quite a different accentuation. It's still ideas of love that are brought in here, but they have all to do with life. Life is indestructible. Life is that great individuality, or in other words, that indivisibility. And now here, whenever she talks about love, it's that unity, that indivisibility of God and man. It's the unity of God and man. She speaks about the inseparability of God and man, that man cannot be separated from God. Can you see? It's always the same thing with other terms, that man's existence is not separate from God's existence, that there is this indivisibility, not only the inseparability, but also the indivisibility of God and man. So that is the tone of love. You remember that we didn't have that before. Yes? Shall I just quickly go over the main tone of love in that seventh subject, just to hear the difference? What was love at the point of mind? It was always that which said there is a design, there is a purpose, there is a goal, that there everything goes heavenward. There is a goal, there is a design. In love, in the second subtone of spirit, always said that will be God will be reflected. You will have a reward, you will have a merit, can you say a merit, or you, your action will gain a merit, that's what you say, that it is complete and that it is perfect, the tone of love. In that third subtone of soul was again very different. It was all about the way of salvation, salvation, the day of salvation, the divine pardon, we will win eternal honors. Can you see, it was always salvation and win salvation. When we came then to principle, we saw that love there is always a sense of peace and of rest, of the Shekinah, see, mission fulfilled. Do you hear that? And then in the tone now here of life says again something different about love. We know love as that which is inseparable from its manifestation. Therefore gives the sense of the inseparability of God and man, of the indivisibility of God and man. What else did we have? That man cannot be separated from God, that man's existence is not separate from God's existence. Do you hear that? Now think of it. Think of it, what we find. Is it terrific to investigate that textbook and suddenly find that Mrs. Eddy had apparently listened to the music of the sphere, to the music of heaven, where every synonymous term had its very, very specific accentuation according to the subject under discussion. That she doesn't just feel, well, I have to show something about love, so I just bring in here an idea of love and there an idea of love, just what comes into my mind. No. That there is a terrific exactness in the tonality of her presentation. You really feel you get here a real good composition of spiritual tones. That God is a great composer. And just as he can compose and translate it into terms of musical terms, like Mozart, or perhaps like Beethoven or Bach, that the one divine principle can also translate that harmony of being into terms that symbolize really that spiritual symphony of being. It's like a symphony. The more you will learn the tonality of it, you will agree with me that you go to the textbook and that you feel you hear God speak. That you don't feel, I read terms. I read words. I read sentences. You read with your eyes sentences, and with your ear you hear the melody of being, the symphony of being. Can you see how not only that, there is an exactness of taking, say, love as mind, and then through the seven, but also taking love as mind through its subtones of seven. And every time bringing in love has another connotation, another meaning, another tonality. One stands in awe before that textbook. In awe. That you will never be able to do if you don't accept the three categories of being and don't culture yourself in the tonality of those three categories of being. That is the key. And that alone can make a disciple that will carry on the idea. Otherwise, we never find a disciple. Think of those many big caliber in the Christian Science movement, like a Kimball. Is there a disciple of Kimball? Think of Bicknell Young as that great spiritual caliber. Is there a disciple of the oneness of being? Huh? They've already gone long ago. So, is there a disciple of Jesus, of John Dolly? There will only be a disciple of John Dolly if one understands his science that he was teaching. And that's what we have to see, that we culture that and really see that we keep it pure and that we don't deviate in every direction. That is nonsense. Go to the science of it and not to the religion of it. That's why Boston always speaks about the religion of Christian Science. Well, that never makes a disciple. Okay. We see each other again at 7 o'clock.